You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events. Welcome to The Alex Spicer Show. This is Alex and my co-host, Roberto. Say hello to the fans, Roberto.
Hello.
So, we're going to keep it short for this week's episode. You know, there's a lot going on in life, a lot going on being primarily, first and foremost. It's really busy when you have five kids and one of them being a newborn. But I did want to leave you, I wanted to discuss the implications of this quote by J.R.R. Tolkien. It says, and you might recognize this from the movie and the book, "All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." All right, so, Rob, why did Frodo say that?
Shut up. You're a nerd.
No, tell me. Why would Radagast the Brown share such an important quote with his best friend Pippin?
This is the part where everyone listening turns it off.
But, yeah, okay. So who actually said that?
Not playing your games.
How about you tell me? I know what it is. How about you tell me so I know that, like,
oh my gosh.
So I see if you know it too. So, Gandalf. Rob, do you know who Gandalf is?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you were a fan. Okay, just for context here for everyone listening, Robert always threatens to win at some sort of trivia game that we play with Lord of the Rings, and then he comes in last place. I think every time between me, my wife, and you, I think you've come in last place every time.
Yeah.
Okay, but
you're a nerd. How did you get married before I?
I found someone willing to be just as nerdy as me. But that quote, you know, "All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." I actually really like that quote, and a lot of other people do. But here's why it stands out to me, and I actually have it on a plaque on my desk. And that is because it reminds me that I have so much within my control in my life just through my choices. There's a lot outside my control, but I can choose what I do with my time. I can choose how to spend my time. All we have to decide is what to do for the time that is given to us. Do I want to spend my time being upset or acting like a victim? You know, reacting instead of acting to my circumstances?
You tell me, or...
I was just falling. Robert, please, enlighten. Why might someone do that? But you know, what if we use what is known as agency properly? It is human beings' gift of agency. The fact that we can think cognitively, understand differences between right and wrong and consequences, and can make decisions. We have a moral playing field that our thinking can pass through. That is a big part of what makes human beings unique compared to any other creature. And our agency, our gift, our ability to choose between right and wrong, to make our own decisions, that is ultimately going to determine what our life's outcome will be. There are things that will come our way, but how do you make the best of what is given to you? Right? Do we throw our emotions around and try to medicate ourselves, medicate our emotions because we're struggling with drugs or with food or some other addiction? All right, do we do that, or could we choose a better path? Right, the incredible things about human beings is, I guess I'm gonna throw this in there, Rob, and tell me what you think. But this is why I really disagree with Democrats.
Okay.
Democrats, progressives, because they treat human beings like they have no ability, or that they have no agency. Because agency implies that you have the capacity at any point to make a different decision. But Democrats don't treat people like that. They don't treat them like they have the capacity to make a different decision at any time. They say, this is too hard. Let me do this for you.
Hmm.
You can't make it. You can't rise above your circumstances. Right? They literally are telling you that you really don't have the capacity to use your agency.
Okay.
Gandalf lied.
Yeah.
And they treat you like you're an object. Like you're more like an animal. They need to keep you in a pen, keep you fed, fat, and, you know, nicely brushed.
Mm-hmm.
And you will just be a happy camper. You will do whatever they say. They will lead you along by the lead rope.
When you're talking about Democrats, are you talking about politicians or just anyone who's registered as a Democrat?
I mean, I am being very generalistic here. I mean anyone who agrees with a primarily Democrat stance of doing for others what they can and should do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats also, like, because they don't believe in people's right agency, in agency at all, they like to shield you from your circumstances, right? They shield you from the consequences of your choices.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing, though, just how God made this world, that we need that. We need the consequences of our choices so it can play a factor in our thinking, in our decision-making, in our use of agency. It's amazing how people will choose to do something different once they have hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't, and that's their choice. And maybe they die, right? Like maybe they live a life that's squandered.
Yeah.
But enough people don't have to eat crap too often, especially if it's in big enough spoonfuls, before deciding, I want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ate crap in spoonfuls, you know, in small spoonfuls for years, not providing for my family well enough. And it took losing all of our income and all of our savings and finding no other solution and someone having to step in and literally pay our bills and help us for me to say, I can never do this again. No more. And there's always the temptation to repeat habits that kind of bring you there. And we deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, you know, this habit doesn't lead there. I can relax in this way. I can do this differently because I'm in a better place now. We can relapse to a degree. But at all times, we have this capacity. I think that's why it's fundamental to Christian religion to understand why it is written in the New Testament that... Well, and they were actually quoting the Old Testament. They were saying, you know, isn't it written in your laws that ye are gods? I know I'm butchering the quote right now. I'm really tired. But we have the capacity to be like our Father in heaven. That's because we have the capacity to choose, to reason, to think, and to change. And if we rely upon Jesus Christ, we can transform. And we can be perfected in our natures. That's the incredible thing about human beings is we literally have infinite potential. We just have to use, you know, we must decide what to do with the time that is given to us in the right ways as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So
sorry, I'm tired too. The lights are so bright.
the overhead light?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what I wanted to share.
It's a lot of movement.
It will drastically change the way you approach it will drastically change your political stance on many issues if you remember someone's agency and their capacity to change. What politicians and governments have a great propensity to do is they like to then manufacture the environment around people to ensure that they have less of a chance of changing their behavior,
mm-hmm.
using their agency to choose differently. Because things that will really influence someone's behavior and their decision making happens to be positive religions such as Christianity. The state will always say, no, like less involvement of charities and other things like that. How dare they discriminate, allow them to decide who they give handouts to and who not. When they should, because if someone's just mooching, you say, sorry, that's disingenuous of us, and we care about you to enable you like that. But governments, you know, they like to suppress efforts like that and say, no, we will give without question. They manufacture circumstances to ensure that you are less likely to change your behavior. But if you just let missionaries, Christian missionaries, go in and preach the gospel, people change. People change their behaviors. They change their thinking. They change their politics. If you are truly a Christian and you believe in the principle that human beings are children of God, we have the capacity to be more like it. We have the capacity to change. If we didn't have that, then Christ's atonement is worthless. Why on earth would he sacrifice himself for us if we have no capacity to become like God?
Mm-hmm.
That's a ridiculous concept to try to reconcile if you think that we have no capacity to become more like our Father in heaven. We have the capacity to be perfected. If we had no capacity to be perfected, why Christ sacrificed. But we do. We have the capacity to change and to become better. And if you recognize that, and the importance of one's own responsibility and accountability, them using their agency for themselves, you will step back and stop trying to be a savior for everyone else. I call it savioritis, right? When people want to do for other people, like, oh, I'll help you. We need more programs. That's called savioritis. Oh, did you get bit by the savioritis bug? You think you can help everyone? Shut up. Stop it. Back up. Let people make their decisions. And if some people are happy living in squalor or whatever, that is their decision.
What would you say to the people who would retort that it is helpful having a government program to help them out?
I would say, to what degree? I'd ask them to what degree, right? Because safety nets, I think, are important. But if it's to the degree like we've been discussing, where basically without question, without much discretion,
mm-hmm.
they just give, and with no expectation of you trying to earn what you've been given and to overcome being in the slums, then oh no, sorry. Then, yeah, I would say that's wrong.
Okay. Okay, so sometimes it's good, but most of the time it's bad.
I think too much of anything is bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like if you help out a homeless man for too long and he wants more and more. It's like that book, if you give a moose a muffin.
What?
You haven't heard of that?
I've seen the other ones where it's like if you give a mouse a cookie.
Same. Yeah, I think it's the same author or something.
Yeah.
They want more and more.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're just like kids.
I don't know.
But, you know, too much of anything can be bad. It's...
Yeah, it's quite a thing to say it's so-and-so's responsibility to take care of so-and-so and so-and-so. If they have their normal capacities, you know, it's one thing if they're, you know, mentally retarded or have some mental disorder. But if they're normal, regular.
But that's a completely different category, right? Taking care of people who are actually mentally handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about those who pretend to be, right? Who give themselves a so-called handicap mentally.
Name someone.
Nope. I won't, but... We have all met people who choose to act incapable because they can live a freeloading life.
Yeah.
right? Because if it's easy, if there is a payoff for it, human beings, right, we can be just like animals. If there is a payoff for doing something, even if it's dumb or hurtful, we're going to do it. It's hurtful to your mental health and even your relationships to constantly be on your phone, but what is the payoff you get from being on your phone all the time? Dopamine hit, social media is exciting, oh, a dopamine hit, right?
Yeah.
And it's deteriorating, but we will work for reward. That's why I believe charities, you know, people who have the capacity to actually withdraw help, that's an important element, because if you just give and give and give and there's no other expectation, then you have to rob. Like, I mean, through a government program, you have to continue to rob from everyone else.
Yeah.
To give to those people. But if you can say, dude, I've been helping you all this time, but you're really not trying to make a decision for something else. You're not trying to change.
Yeah.
This is a toxic relationship. You're just, I'm wasting my time. You know, you're wasting your time. Let's just separate.
Yeah, there has to be boundaries set there, like, you have X amount of days to prove yourself type of thing. If it's there and it's never ending, there's no need to, like, move on and improve, progress. But I would say, like, if you're helping someone directly, it's good to put a time limit, on it.
Yeah, here's a great example, Rob. You had a guy living in your shed.
I don't want to talk about that.
But okay, this was a guy. You tell the story, just briefly. Like how did this happen, and what was the time limit?
Just had a guy who
that you knew. He had stayed in your Airbnb for over a month, right?
He'd been there off and on for 6 months.
Okay,
and he then is how he made money through this app that gave him leads. It started to dry up. And he asked if he could stay in my shed. Because
he had no money, right?
Because he had no money. And I stupidly said yes. Because he said he would quit smoking and he'd go to church if he could stay in my shed. And I stupidly, and I regret it, but I stupidly said yes until May 1st. So I gave him like a month and a week. But yeah, towards the end, he maybe went to church once.
But he was asking for more. He's like, oh,
he's like, oh, sorry, I'm going to probably need to stay a bit longer. And I felt bad because you could tell he's really in a wild place.
And that's the thing, right? Like, you stay in that position, you continue to be the host while he continues to be the leech, right?
Yeah, and it taught me a lot about how, like, you see homeless people and people with problems and how you want to fix everybody's problems and help them and solve their problems. But I had this realization in the middle of that, man, I cannot take on everyone's problems. Even though I have this capability to help him, it is giving me so much stress. Like, I went on vacation to find out, oh, he's going in the basement, the one place I told him, do not go. And he's going through, grabbing my tools, trying to be helpful, but he's doing it while I'm gone, and that seems intentional. Or, oh, he's passed out on the ground while my other Airbnb guests are trying to check out. Or, oh, he's having some manic episode talking to himself while mowing the lawn at, like, 9 at night. Stuff, just all this crazy stuff where you're just like, I can't carry all this. And my realization was that's for Christ to do.
Well, I'd also even add there, maybe you didn't make this realization, but I'm just kind of sharing my realization vicariously through you, but also in my own experience. Not only is it for Christ, though, it is for us to do what we can in the right ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, human behavior is not changing. There are cycles, there are common patterns. Our whole constitution was founded upon this idea that we need to guard against every natural human behavior that leads to despotism. Well, personal despotism, right? or personal struggles are because of our own, you know, poor behaviors. And you can't give someone everything or give them things and expect them to change. But what you can do is you can help change their thinking.
Yeah.
And they will change their behavior, right?
I suppose. Yeah, which is, overall, that whole experience, I think, helped him a little bit. Like, he was starting to become more active in church and at least studying it more. But yeah, I was like, I can't take this on. Like, shortly after, you know, I had another... I've got 5 Airbnb rooms, but it's too much. I mean, that vacation was the most stressful vacation I ever had. It's like, oh, that guy in my shed called the ambulance because he thought he was having appendicitis, and he wasn't. So now I'm watching through, you know, security cameras in my house to see an ambulance there, and I've got to deal with all that stress. And it made me think, okay, I want roommates that don't have to worry about this. So I was showing some of the rooms last week, and there's a kid in room one near the front room, and he overheard everything. You know, these guys are like, okay, so how much is it and deposit and when can we move in, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as they leave, the guy comes out. He's like, hey, so random question. Are you looking for roommates right now? You know, trying to act all like, you know, out of the blue. Like,
is he from California, though?
I don't know. No,
sorry, I'm only asking this because every time you imitate, you try to imitate someone, it's always a California accent. So, are you like looking for her?
He could be. I don't know. I knew it was coming, though. I was just like, oh, sorry, no, I've already got a lot of people who I'm gonna consider right now, but thanks anyways. He's like, what do you need? I was like, well, okay, you'd have to pass a background check. I need first and last month's deposit, you know, good credit, no weed. No, and he was definitely a pothead because he always smelled like weed. So he was like, no weed, no. And I let it get quiet. He's like, well, I that's fine. I could do all that. I'm like, well, I already got some other guys, and then, this is awful, but 10 minutes later, I, like, walk past the living room, you know, and I hear someone talking on the phone, and I'm, like, crying on a phone.
Oh, no.
They just, no one will give me a chance, and I've got the money, but they just won't let me live here, and I've been sick, because, like, me, 2 months ago would have been, like, oh, feel so bad, and maybe I should give him a chance, or maybe me 2 months ago would have even given him a legitimate chance. But because the lesson I learned was having a homeless guy in my shed, I'm like, no, I can't take on everyone's burdens and try to help everybody, because the amount of chaos I put in my life and the amount of hair I lost and years of my life I lost and wrinkles I gained in like a month or two of. Well, honestly, the whole time that guy was there
drumming. I had a very interesting realization as you were saying this. I realized, you know, you raised your standards for what you were going to allow in your life. You're looking for this sort of a roommate, you know, he wouldn't match it, right?
Yeah.
And so you weren't going to lower it just because you felt bad for him. Right? There are times when you need to extend the hand of mercy in a way where, you know, you quote-unquote lower your standards, right? There's times when you feel the Holy Spirit tell you to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the real realization I had was that standards can play a major role in improving people's behavior, in getting them to use their agency to do better, to be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you pursue excellence, right? I mean, you think of, you could have someone who's just in the army and those who are going to be an elite warrior, right? Army ranger or something. There are high standards they have to meet to get into there. You can't just be like, well, I identify as an Army Ranger, right? It's like, how convenient is that, right?
Yeah.
And that is a big irksome thing about this whole movement of I identify, therefore I am,
mm-hmm.
is that it is completely contradictory, not just to reality, but to also how the universe and God works. God has standards. There are standards we need to meet in order to qualify as being such a person. I can't say, you know, I am a great person and then be a terrible person and just be like, but I identify as great and you have to believe that, accept it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how the real world works. Oh, you really want to be a great person, a great employee? You want to earn this position? You want to earn this income? You want to have this sort of relationship? Be that person. The standards are up here. You want to have a better marriage? Standards are up here. That means stop blaming your spouse for everything. or, you know, or stop being a total jerk. Serve them more, right? The standards are higher for higher quality outcomes, higher quality existence. So by standards existing, you give people the opportunity to choose to either step up and meet it or not. But the fact is, because there's a challenge and you are literally asking people, will you meet this? Like this is something you can do. People will rise to that. If there's no standard to meet, people can't rise very high.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, as long as that standard is within universal righteous truths, you know, things that everyone knows or feels is right, I suppose, which is, like, I mean, what if your standard is, I don't know, your standard is you have to hit somebody with your car, you know, everyone knows that's wrong.
Oh, sure.
But...
Well, there are standards for gangs and assassins, like Rob is describing.
Yeah, well, no, I was just thinking about our church's temples, how some people get bitter that they can't go in, and that it's, I don't know,
they say it's a non-inclusive. It's like,
right, yeah.
Dude, heaven is very exclusive. Do you not realize that?
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow him, try to be like him. That's not easy crap. Old Testament, not anyone can go into the temple. The outer courtyard is a bit more flexible, but once you get into the inner courtyard, you go deeper in like that. There are
high standards.
There are high standards you have to meet.
Yeah. And it's good. Well, those standards are righteous. They're good. Those standards aren't. Oh, you killed somebody? Perfect. You're in the club.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that with like I'm looking. I posted one of these rooms on Facebook, and I've been getting probably over 100 people have reached out already. And I was thinking about, like, how I'm trying to weed them out is, like, okay, you need to be able to pass a background check. Good credit. You can't smoke weed, do any illegal activity, smoking in the house, vaping, none of that. And it's, like, I've had some people get upset or angry, and a lot of people, obviously, aren't interested, and it's just, it's a standard that, I don't know, you better stop me talking. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's a standard
that ensures that there's a quality experience on both ends. Whoever moves in, they're going to be happy because you are providing them with a good place to live, and you're going to be happy because they are meeting your expectations.
Right. What you said, that made me realize what I learned with the hobo in my shed was that, like, when this other kid, you know, asked him, "Is are you have a room open?"
From Southern California, dude.
Yeah. This is Signar Rim available. Oh, hang with us. Catch you later. When he asked, like, I even had that guest before, and I know that he was had a rough life and was clearly still dealing with some stuff, and I thought of my roommates. I'm like, if I had took on a project to help somebody and he lives here, who else is taking him on? All my roommates. And I need to have a safe place so they can feel at home. And so that means I've got to have a really high standard.
Yeah, it's not fair to you nor the people, you know, who are impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's people go, well, what about compassion? Well, there are times when an extraordinary amount of compassion needs to be extended in that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's. But you can show extraordinary amounts of compassion in a better way, or in a different way, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such as, hey, maybe put your arm around and just say, hey, like, I see you're going through a rough time.
Yeah, but here's the door. Let,
no. So let, have you heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right?
Okay.
No, like literally, it's like, That will change someone's life far better than allowing them to, you know, than...
Right. It's teaching them how to...
Than enabling them at their current state.
How to get out
of
their state.
Yeah. How on earth was I going to change as a father and husband?
Right.
If I didn't hit rock bottom, if I had someone always been like, we'll take care of this, right? It's like, oh, great. Oh, I feel guilty about this, but I mean, things are taken care of, so I'm good. Like, that's just how human behavior works. I'm no exception. And the most compassionate thing sometimes parents can do is to punish their child, to discipline them, I should say, is to create consequences for their behavior. Good consequences and bad consequences. Like, I tell my kids, oh, okay, well, if you want this book, I'll happily buy this for you, but you have to read this many hours. All right? You have to do this to earn it.
You're the worst.
And they go, do it.
How dare you. Kill you.
But they do it, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they go, well, I'm almost there. So sorry, buddy. Almost there is not there. Keep going. And see how, like, how that has helped them in their intelligence, right?
You're awesome.
Things like that. Oh, I'm so great. It's just fascinating. People don't truly understand what compassion is. And I'm going to just quote something that I've quoted many times before, but this falls perfectly in line with what we have been discussing. Because we're talking about agency and behavior, how and what can influence that. But that people have the capacity to change the way they use their agency. And this quote comes from, I believe it's Ezra Taft Benson, a great religious leader, and he said that the world would take the man would take a man out of the slums, but the Lord would take the slums out of the man, who will then take himself out of the slums. Right? We're like, oh, look, these people are impoverished or struggling. I mean, part of the maybe we should build them housing for them. It's like, hold on. You're already giving them food and everything they need to live, so they have no reason to strive. And now you're going to use my money to provide them with housing. That's not compassion. Right? Because if true compassion does not come at the expense of all others. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
It doesn't come at showing a major lack of compassion for everyone else involved, which is, I can take your money. Well, I don't want you to take my money. We have no choice. Well, that's not fair to me.
Yeah, but that's the luck of the government, is that they can take your money and you don't really exactly know where your money's being spent. All you know is they're spending it like crazy.
Yeah. Well,
but I would also argue there's another argument to be made that family is necessary and should be there. I mean, a lot of homeless people are on the streets because that's where they want to be because they have a mental condition, maybe it's schizophrenic or.
Oh yeah, and now if we're going straight to people who have that.
Yeah.
I think we need to give those sort of people housing and you know, like have programs that help those people, right?
Right, but you
but
know,
those
that's
who are
such
really
a
capable.
Murky situation. Like, I could pretend I'm. I got a disability that gives me free housing.
Well, then that's your choice, right? Like, everyone is always going to try to game the system. And if you're perfectly happy living with schizophrenics and all these other sorts of people, I can't force you to change that way. And I shouldn't try to be so compulsive I have to. I'll say, okay, Ted, or whatever your name is, live this way. That's the way you're happy. Great. You're happy that way. All right? Like, I'm pretty sure you have the capacity to do something else, but you want to live this way. Okay, you're going to pretend to be handicapped. But then, but for the most part, you have a dichotomy of those who are actually mentally ill and need help. And we need institutions to help them.
Yeah.
And there are those who, they've been trained to live the wrong way by people who don't know what compassion is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They mistake compassion for ease and for a power trip. It is kind of a power trip to be like, look at all these people I'm helping, right? It's a power trip because it helps you feel so righteous, helps you feel so much better than everyone else by being able to do these things. So, there's a balance to everything, but there is so much more to a human being than their circumstance.
Yeah, we could dive deep into a lot of this, like, maybe another episode, the morality of taxes. It's like, we're helping all these people, that's good. Well, it's, oh, cool, where'd you get that money? Well, we stole it from everybody. and they didn't have a choice. Like, well, that's so gracious of you. Anyways, yeah, we should talk about taxes for a full episode another time.
But I guess to boil it all down, there are better ways to help people. There are better ways to rekindle within them a compass, right, that points true north, or a fire to use their agency in the right way.
Yeah.
Rekindling fires and compasses don't quite go together. That's a dumb analogy. Oh, no! And...
I wrote a... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, derail this.
Rant is it. No, it's really going to disappear now if you go for it. I'll tell you at the end.
But it boils down to, we have the capacity to, you know, like, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. What are we going to do with that time? How will you live your life? And I feel like we've spent probably a bit too much time talking about other people. So think of your own life and reflect. What are you doing with your time?
Uh-huh.
Like, not just how are you serving other people, because please don't do it the progressive way, the Democrat socialist way. Do it the Christ-like way. Right? Empower people to change themselves. But also, look at your own life and think about, what are you doing? How are you deciding to spend your time? You wasting away your free time watching TV shows and stuff, when really, if you spent some of that time reading more books and getting better at some sort of trade or increasing your knowledge, that will result in a better financial outcome for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or better health, right? Maybe you should read up on books on your health because you can't figure out, you know, why you can't stop wetting the bed. Not pointing fingers or saying names.
No, I had a roommate went to Ben once. He, in his sleep...
Say this for your podcast.
No, in his dream, he went to the bathroom. And he woke up and he was soaked his mattress.
Oh, no.
And
was this a common thing, or that was a one?
It was a one-time thing.
Oh,
but I give him so much crap for it. You know who it is.
I mean, I do, but let's... Nope. You have a tendency to accidentally give it away exactly who it is. So keep your trap shut. But no, I really don't know who it is. But, I mean, I might know who they are,
uh-huh.
But I've never heard that story. So.
It's pretty funny. He thinks it's funny, too. So.
This is our cousin.
I think he had to, like, put his mattress outside and let it dry out.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, Rob, what were you going to derail us with?
I was just trying to figure out why I kept attracting crazy people. And,
Because you're freaking nuts.
And when I was on vacation, I was in Montana, I was having a conversation with someone about that. And, like, wow, you really attract crazy people. And they were getting a kick out of that. But I was just been wondering about it. And, you know, this was during the time I had a hobo living in my shed. And it made me think of Phil Collins' song... Of,
They say love.
No. Don't ever do that again. It's Another Day in Paradise. It's about homeless people. Yeah. And so anyways, I wrote a song.
A cappella, Rob, right now.
No. Now you're derailing. But anyways, I wrote a song about it, and it's called "I Need You to Leave Me Alone." So,
wrote a song?
Yeah, about crazy people.
Now, is it to Phil Collins' music though? So it's just like a rewrite?
No, I mentioned Phil Collins in the bridge.
Oh.
Kind of like a.
You're like, thank you, Philly.
No, he said, you know,
Fantasy.
Kind of, it's not all black and white.
Papa PC.
So yeah. Anyways, it's not, I mean, I haven't recorded my phone. I should have brought my guitar, then I could have played it. Last time I played this song, I played California, and Sam heard it, my producer, and he's like, I loved it.
That is a dang good song. Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Well, maybe this one is.
No, it probably isn't. But I thought you were going to say the Phil Collins song, Come Stop Your Crying. It'll be alright.
Yeah, no.
Rob's like, it made me think of the hobo man. So you started texting the lyrics. Just take my hand.
H, no.
Hold it tight. You're like, no. So I can stay longer. Get the F out of my shed right now.
No. Ugh. You're giving me PTSD. He's one of those really friendly people that if he caught you in the hall, you'd be gone for an hour because he would just talk.
Oh, man.
Ugh. It was stressful. My poor roommate. I almost said his name.
We'll call him Papa C.
Dealing with that. Ugh. So stressful. But anyways, yeah, I could share the song.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of categories that go into all this, but trying to keep a focus because you could spin it off to, well, you know, some people need this or that. Yes, but as a general rule, there are better ways of doing it, and compassion is typically better shown through empowering people, not enabling. By giving them something to believe in, something higher than themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
I mean,
and you can't really force that.
Maybe we should get our dad on it and have him share a story. It'd be very religious, and people who are not of our faith may not enjoy it. I don't know. If you're not, I'd just say, suck it up, Buttercup. You can appreciate other people's stories of other faiths. I love hearing, I'm not Catholic, but I love hearing these incredible stories from Catholics or Protestants or whatever else, right?
I read those books all the time.
I really want to go see the movie, for example, what is that? Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah. He becomes like a priest or
something. Yeah, like, I'm not Catholic, but that looks...
Father McDaddy or something.
No.
It's Father.
It's not a pimp.
It's Father something.
It sounds like a pimp movie. No, but it looks kind of fascinating. I'm not Catholic at all, but I like, that looks inspiring.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great. It's phenomenal. But the reason why I say we should have our dad on to tie in the loose end there, because people are thinking, what the crap, is because he grew up poor and very poor.
Yeah.
In his own words, he said, we were the kids on the street that everyone's parents told their kids, stay away from those kids. Like, we were the ones that... We were the dregs of society, basically, is what he was getting at. And he really changed his outcome and his life because he found the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
He went from barely, I remember him saying he went from barely graduating high school to becoming a doctor. And that's amazing.
That's right.
That's a huge step in a different direction. Going from really ignorant, uneducated. Dad's very smart, very educated.
He's gonna listen to this, come down with his belt and start whipping you. Don't you ever talk about me ever again, boy.
Well, by dad, I meant my stepdad.
That's right.
Papa J.
I told him I refer to him as my other dad. And then I told Dad, I was like, I just refer to you guys as my dads.
Oh, gosh.
He thought that was pretty funny.
Anyways, we're learning too much about our family.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the Alex Spicer Show. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, hit that like button, and leave us a review. Honestly, you know, we have busy lives, so I don't know about Rob. Rob isn't that busy, but I'm really dang busy. But I only do this because I'm trying to make a difference. I think these are things people should think about and consider because...
What difference are you trying to make? Sorry.
I'm not going to go there. I'm trying to cap up. I'm trying to get Rob to shut the...
Excuse
shut
me.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. You're
anyways,
making a difference.
Trying to make a difference. Because if I can get people to change the way they think, to consider things differently, and to understand the principles more clearly, you're not going to fall for the traps, for the awesome new marketed ideas from politics of any stripe.
Mm-hmm.
And we can change our outcome as a nation, as a community.
Mm-hmm.
We can change our future. We can preserve freedom. But you can't preserve freedom if we are empowering evil by misunderstanding what good is.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. We misunderstand what good is. We don't really understand that. We think good, and we are deceived, right? And now we live in a day where we call good evil and evil good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I even see Christians doing it.
Oh, all the time. It's
just so warped.
Yeah. But anyways, live free until next time.